Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big and blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
Now, I know that there's been a lot of word out there, subtly or not, that I'm not going to run. I'm just doing this to get my name in a paper, which is kind of stupid. I get my name in a paper around this country when I go to the toilet.
Interesting that he has to say that, and he's not on the toilet.
Sheriff, former Sheriff Joe Arpaio, he turned his signatures in, and he is, officially running for United States Senate, God help us all.
Yeah.
Although I guarantee he'll drop out. He's not in it to win it. He says he's in it to win it, but I don't believe it.
Interesting that he's running for Jeff Flake's seat. Mm. He's got a number of other people who are running as Republicans around him.
Right.
He says he's all in, but we've heard this before. He was going to run for governor. He was going to run for Congress.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he actually shuffled down to the Michelle Reagan's office with 10,000 signatures and, of course, got into a urinating contest with everybody who was there.
He started yelling at everybody. I mean, he did. He started yelling.
So can you tell us what these tariffs would do?
So he was asked about tariffs. Tariffs, right?
I just got them tell you in general terms. I haven't studied they haven't even studied the 2,000 pages when they pass laws on immigration or anything else. So I am going to tell you my philosophy. I support the president.
What's a tariff?
I want the jobs to be here, not in foreign countries.
What's a tariff?
All that money, the billions and billions and billions of dollars they give to these foreign countries.
What is a tariff?
That money ought to be here
it
to
is.
Take
coming
care
back.
Of the people
coming
of the
back.
United
He's
States.
Back.
So that's my answer
yeah.
to what
today.
You're saying.
It's an Arpaio fan standing beside him.
Right.
He just walked in.
And somebody at the very end. Do you know what a tariff
What's
is?
What's a tariff?
You know, I'm not going to. Let's go on to. No, I'm not going to. You hit me. Let's talk about something else. Anybody else?
Okay, let's talk about this.
So he tells the reporter, stop asking. Stop asking about a tariff. I'm going to move on to another reporter.
All right, what about.
I gave you my story and what I believe in.
What's a tariff, though?
Anybody else?
This is a basic question.
Basic question. What's a tariff?
Do you know what a tariff is?
Do you know what a tariff is?
I know what tariffs are, but I'm not here to do a history to educate you on what a tariff is, okay?
He doesn't know what a tariff is.
I think he's proven that he doesn't know what a tariff is.
But yeah, but Sheriff Joe, how's your underwear feel today?
I haven't checked my clothes or my underwear, but I bet any amount of money, nothing says made in the good old United States. So his policies about tariffs, international trade, I agree with.
So he's admitted that he never read the 2,000-page document of a law that he had to enforce. He's admitted that he is not going to educate us on what we should already know, right. And that his drawers are made in the USA.
Mac, what about
that's a solid platform to campaign on.
Let's check our drawers. 409 and 15 seconds. All what right. does your tag say? Is it made in America?
It's all rubbed off. They're so old.
You got old.
I got old drawers on.
I got new underwear.
Okay, what does it say?
Made in China.
China. Okay.
And I'll tell you, very comfortable. Hey, speaking of China,
you know they can take those back at any point.
Joe Arpaio talked about China.
I just got done telling you I agree. What?
Why is he yelling at everybody?
He's Joe Arpaio.
Sorry.
The president is doing with his negotiations with China. I love it when he met with the Chinese prime minister or president.
Pick one. Which one is it?
That's great. Let him keep meeting with our so-called enemies.
China's our enemy now?
Wait a minute. I thought China was our friend.
Is he trying to? I don't know what he's doing.
And get things done.
Get things done. That's right.
And that's why I'm going to support him on his program.
Yeah, that's why he's running for senator. God help us all.
Okay.
So he got his 10,000 signatures.
So he can compete in the GOP primary August 28th.
Right.
When does he drop out?
Maybe next week.
Next week?
I'm thinking next week.
During the summer, maybe?
Maybe during the summer.
Okay.
It's a little hot to go out there and campaign.
Very true.
I mean, I think he's pretty much going to drop out pretty soon.
He got 10,000 signatures.
He sure did. There are 10,000 idiots out there.
I mean,
or maybe he just said, give me another name. Frank Lewis.
You're not accusing him of using his power and influence to change something.
Give me another name so I can write it. Kelly Ward. Kelly Ward.
No. Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, the good former sheriff of Maricopa County.
Yeah.
Thank God, former.
Made the big four at four today.
Oh, and I welcome him to the big four at four. It's fantastic. So he turned his signatures in and he yelled at everybody in a press conference.
Hey, what's new?
You're listening to the Big Four at Four. We start the 4 o'clock hour. The first 20 minutes, we bring you four big stories, four big blockbuster stories.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story 2.
His distraught father, Antonio, is telling the Wall Street Journal his son is, quote, a good boy who was bullied at school, adding, quote, I believe that's what was behind the shooting. Antonio Spagorci saying he himself came to America as a young boy.
This is the father of the Santa Fe shooter. And the father is saying, yes, my son killed people, but he was bullied.
With just a grammar school education, he built a business here, and now he describes visiting his son in jail, saying, quote, he could not look at me in the eyes. He is confused, can't remember what happened. He said he wants to apologize to his sisters. He said he'll be strong and help us see this through. His father saying, quote, it would have been better if he shot me than all those kids.
Yeah, dad says that, but he also says, well, he was bullied, so let me make excuses for my son.
The school is flat out rejecting that idea. Dad has thrown out there that somebody probably came and hurt him. The coaches, he played football, the coaches mistreated him. The district was quick to reject that theory in a weekend statement. I feel bad for the dad. I mean, what do you say? I'm sorry. I missed it. I guess I should have paid more attention to him. I mean,
but he didn't say that.
No, he didn't. And I feel bad for the dad because, again, he's got to feel guilty that he may have been able to stop this, but he didn't and didn't realize how far down a bad road his son was going, I guess. It's just a shame when dad says, well, the shooter was bullied. You know, trying somehow to gain sympathy for a kid who basically a girl didn't want to go out with him. He right. asked her for 4 months. She repeatedly said no. And he decided to go in to that room at that day to kill that girl and then other people as well.
Dad didn't do his job, period. I mean, that's what you've got here. A law wouldn't have changed this. Taking a gun out of a house wouldn't have changed this. Dad being a parent would have changed this. All he had to do was go and look at his son's social media. There's Nazi stuff on there. There's I'm going to kill people on there. There's
Born to Kill.
Yeah.
The T-shirt.
So all dad had to do was be a dad, and he didn't do it. And his kid went out and murdered people. And even if his kid was bullied, that doesn't mean you go and murder people.
Right.
And it's not an excuse. So, you know, I feel bad for the people who died. I feel bad for the families whose kids are dead. This dad did not do a good job in this interview. I just don't do an interview. There's nothing really that you can say. You didn't do your job.
What if you bring up a great point? What if the dad came out and said, "I'm sorry, I failed." Would there be any sympathy? I mean, would that be? Would people say, you know, wow, thanks for admitting that you totally failed as a dad? Would that put him in a better light? Or would that be, like, is there nothing this man can say where you'd actually say, wow, that was contrite, I actually believe him?
I don't care what he says.
Then don't do the interview then.
No, I don't care what he says. I don't need to feel sorry for this dad. I know his life has changed. But, you know, here's what I would ask you. Did you lock your guns away or not? Because your kid used your guns.
That's the question.
We still don't know
the authorities
answer.
Are going to have to figure out.
Right.
How did he get access? Did dad have a sawed-off shotgun?
Right.
Or was the shotgun modified by the son and dad never knew about it? Because that's illegal without a permit in the state of Texas. And he also had a .38 that was dad's. How did he get that
firearm?
Listen,
sometimes there aren't any red flags. There were red flags here, and dad missed it. You know, we got a lot of family members who miss this stuff.
Yeah.
You could go back to the shooting at Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Oh, Mom, how do I... how do I make my son love me?
Well,
oh,
I mean,
well, why don't I give someone who's not right in the head a gun?
You could go back to Columbine.
Of course you could.
Those families had no idea that those two
but some
kids
families
were going to plan that.
But some families know, and this guy should have seen it, and he didn't do his job as a parent. All right, we're in the middle of the big four at four. Four big blockbuster stories. Still to come, big story three and four.
The big four at four. Big story three.
President Trump continues to hedge his bets when it comes to whether his meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un will happen as planned on June 12th in Singapore.
There's a good chance that we'll have the meeting.
But in a lengthy Q&A in the Oval Office, seated next to the South Korean president, Mr. Trump also said this.
There's a very substantial chance that it won't work out, and that's okay. That doesn't mean it won't work out over a period of time. But it may not work out for June 12th.
The president said there are certain conditions the U.S. wants North Korea to meet. He didn't elaborate on what those conditions are.
All right, so is this thing happening on June 12th or not? Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump, the summit in Singapore. Ooh, that sounds
catchy.
Good.
It's catchy.
Hold on. Summit
in Singapore.
Singapore.
Yeah.
Is that P-O-R-E?
P-O-R-E.
Singapore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at Trump Tower.
No. No.
Is this thing going to happen? Kim Jong-un is like, I may bail. I may drop out of this thing. Maybe I won't show up. You guys were screwing around with South Korea.
Whoa, hold on.
Okay.
Kim Jong-un is not saying, I might show up. He is saying, you guys are still going to invade my country. The North Korean media has got all fire and fury now over Donald Trump's a liar. The South Korean president is the son of a goat. I mean, it's more than just, I don't know if I'm going to show up. The whole tone of this meeting has changed, and I don't get why. I don't know what Donald Trump did or did not do to Kim Jong-un.
I just think in public it's changed. I think behind the scenes, Kim Jong-un can't wait for this meeting. I mean, he is counting the days. He's going to be on the world stage with the President of the United States after all these years. He can't
wait. Okay, if it does happen, though, does he still take the same tone that he does now, or does he take the tone with the South Korean leader a couple weeks ago when they actually met at the DMZ? I don't know. I mean, this guy is unpredictable, but then again, so is Trump. Maybe they both go in and have a Sam and Diane kind of relationship where they love to hate each other.
Dating yourself.
I know.
That's cheers.
No one else will go out with me. Anyway, I don't know if he's ramping up because he thinks Donald Trump's all fire and fury, so I got to be tough like that guy. Or they meet and everything is like, hey, how's it going? Fine. Yeah, let's get rid of the nukes. Okay, let's sign something.
I think it's going to be chummy. I think they're going to be nice to each other. I think they're going to meet on June 12th. I don't think there's any chance this thing is going to not happen. There's just no way. There's no way this meeting doesn't happen. Trump needs the meeting because he wants to get the deal done. And Kim Jong-un, he wants the meeting because he wants to be taken seriously. And he's already gone as far as to start even denuclearizing him, his arsenal. So it's going to happen.
But it's
they're just going to kind of drag their feet on the way there.
It's not unusual for North Korea to their official media to turn everything into hyperbolic terms,
sure.
Basically saying, the world's coming to an end and trying to make a point. But at some point, you're going to tick off people, and I wonder if he says one thing to President Trump, and President Trump really does get angry, I don't know how you recover from that. So Un's got this really weird, dangerous game he's playing.
I don't think it's that dangerous. I think that they both know this meeting is going to happen, and nobody is going to back out. The Big 4 at 4, what we do is at 4 o'clock, we take the first 20 minutes and bring you four big blockbuster stories.
The Big 4 at 4. Big Story 4.
It is by far the most active, putting out multiple swimming pools worth of lava every second. That's forming these rivers of lava, which you actually saw from the air. They are streaming down to the ocean, creating that massive plume of steam and fine particle glass that's being kicked up by the lava interacting with the water. Now, that is a major health hazard here in this part of the island. Luckily, the winds are blowing away from the island at this point.
And Hawaii is on edge because the lava is getting very close to a power plant.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that's probably a bad mix.
It is. It is. The Puna Geothermal Venture is the power plant that is on the Big Island, and they've already shipped out a number of chemicals with the encroachment of the lava, but you're still at risk for, if there is steam released into the air, interacting with chemicals in that plant, you've got a deadly gas of hydrogen sulfide.
So the people at the power plant that are using the hoses to stop the lava is a bad idea?
Oh, it's not even a good idea.
It's not good.
No. I mean, there is. What do you do? If you can't stop Mother Nature, I mean, this is like Fukushima. If you cannot stop, you know, the tsunami in Fukushima. That earthquake almost, you know, turned out to be another Chernobyl. This isn't going to be Chernobyl, but their power, you know, you don't have power. You don't have any way to be rescued. You've got more lava than you know what to deal with. Mm. Again, I am surprised that more people haven't been told to get out.
It's unbelievable. It is. Watching it go into the ocean and the steam. And yesterday was, what was it? The Lays? Is that what it was?
The Lays. It was L-A-Z-E. Lava and haze that's created.
You worked Fukushima and Chernobyl in the same sentence. That's pretty impressive.
And it's pretty dangerous. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. The Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big Four at Four delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
All right, coming up, a wrong way driver of a different kind to tell you about. Plus, can America ditch guns the way we ditch cigarettes? It's coming up.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Mac and Gatos. Arizona's Afternoon News, 92.3 FM. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Sanderson Ford and presidential polls teaming up for the 10K carpool giveaway. You can win 10 grand toward the purchase of a Sanderson Ford or a presidential pool, or just pocket the cash. All you have to do is text the word carpool to 411-923. Or go online to carpoolgiveaway.com.
All right, with all these school shootings, obviously two of the worst that we've seen, Parkland earlier this year and Santa Fe, Texas last week. You know, people will point to a lot of different things of how we could stop these things. Here's an interesting question. Can Americans ditch guns the way we ditched cigarettes?
Mm, that is a great question, because cigarettes and smoking were accepted and actually advertised as something that wasn't dangerous, wasn't a health hazard. And there were, you know, reports and doctors' warnings for years about this. But it ultimately came to the public's perception and the public's attitude towards smoking. I don't know if you can do the same thing with firearms.
Well, smoking, cigarettes, they were, you know, completely woven into American culture.
Oh, yeah.
Guns, woven into American culture. Cigarettes, here's the thing. Cigarettes are bad for you, end of story. Guns are not bad for you. And I'm not talking about your health, I'm just talking about to have a gun around you is not a bad thing.
But smoking
will kill you.
Or at least affect your health negatively if you do not die from it.
Right.
But like you pointed out, having a gun or being a gun owner does not automatically mean your health is in danger.
Right. Right. So can Americans ditch guns the way they ditched cigarettes?
Man, there's going to have to be a shooting every day for a full calendar year, like a school mass shooting. Mm. For people to say, okay, we can't accept this anymore.
I do think, though, the younger generation, the kids who are in school now,
right,
are growing up and they're saying, I see what's happening in schools. When I get older and I am able to vote at 18, this is probably something that I might vote against. And that's, you know,
but
don't you think the younger generation is growing up hating guns?
Yes. Or at least being more concerned about gun violence than previous generations. The problem is, will there be any legislation that they can vote on in order to change it?
Well, I mean, the younger generation, some are going to go into politics. Don't you think they'll go into politics and have a different idea and thought process of, are guns good or are they bad?
Depends on who finances their campaign.
Right.
Depends on who they're running against. I agree with you on that younger people, younger voters are more gun regulation conscious.
Right.
I don't know, down the road, let's say 10, 15 years, they start getting into politics. do they bring up some major gun legislation? I don't know.
I mean, growing up back east, I always thought guns are bad.
Right.
If you ever saw a guy with a gun, well, that guy is a criminal.
Right. Where I was brought up on the East Coast, too, and have a very different view of firearms because I lived out in the middle of nowhere in the country.
And when I got out here in 1996, you find out, you learn a little bit about Arizona. You learn a little bit about gun owners. You learn a little bit about guns.
The West and the history of the West.
Right, and then you start thinking, guns are not a bad thing. You know, I use this example all the time. If you went to a movie and you sat next to somebody you don't really know and they had a gun.
You're in Arizona,
you're feeling pretty safe.
Yeah.
If that happens back east, you're cutting and running. That's the mentality.
You're calling the cops or you're getting out of there. Yeah.
Exactly, because that's just a different mentality back in New York. So, you know, when I got out here, I'm sitting next to a guy. The guy's got a gun. I feel pretty safe. So, you know, there are different parts of America that think differently about guns. But I do think that you've got a younger generation growing up, growing up with social media, you know, everything that's going on in the world. You see kids running for their lives when they're running out of these schools. And I think if you're a kid, you're thinking guns are bad.
The turning point for smoking came in 1964 when the Surgeon General issued the first report that outlined the dangers of smoking. But then look at how far down after 1964 that you started having, you know, cities and restaurants that were smoke free. Not every place is still smoke free. You can walk around Vegas. It's not smoke free. You can walk around certain towns and still smoke
sure.
in certain restaurants and stuff like that.
You can go
but
to a Valley restaurant. You're never going to have somebody smoke.
Right. But it takes a long time. So maybe the images of kids running or maybe the images of kids or that one piece of audio we play of the Parkland shooting where somebody was recording the sound during the shooting,
the gunfire,
it may take another 20, 30 years for it to finally get legislation passed. But I really don't think you're going to be able to change. You're not going to abolish the Second Amendment. You're
no.
not going to go against what we have been basically founded upon in this country unless there is a major, major incident that affects everyone so deeply that the majority say we got to do something even more.
That was Sandy Hook.
Or it wasn't because nothing happened. So it wasn't Sandy Hook.
But it still affected everybody deeply.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't the changing point. It wasn't the turning point. That's for sure.
Listen to a post on Facebook, okay? Here's the quote. I know some have strong feelings about gun rights, but I want you to know I've hit rock bottom, and I am not interested in your views as it pertains to this issue. Please do not post anything about guns are not the problem. Don't post anything about guns aren't the problem. And there's little we can do. Guess who wrote that? The Houston police chief wrote that on Facebook, a police officer, saying guns are the problem. I don't think guns are the lone problem here at all. I think that it's part of a bigger problem. But when you have a police chief say that,
that's pretty big.
It's pretty big.
When you have a law enforcement officer saying, don't tell me that guns aren't the problem. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I mean, that again, that's a cultural shift that if more people feel if you introduce legislation and it actually gets passed, that's a major hurdle for gun rights. Because how many – look at Doug Ducey. Doug Ducey came up with a gun or school plan.
Yeah.
Did not get passed. Didn't even get a vote. Now, he may work on it again next session. But look after Parkland. Looked after Newtown. How many things were really, really changed about gun laws and gun safety? Not much.
Make sure you're here at 5:15 because we're going to speak to a man who says the way to stop school shootings is to never train your kid to use a gun in the first place. That's about as controversial as you can get, especially
in
Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
So that's coming up at 5:15. Make sure you're here for that.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's Gut Check Time with Mac and Gatos.
Mac, I've got a story you haven't seen.
All right.
This is somewhat breaking news. A sinkhole has formed on the White House lawn.
Really?
Yeah. Mac, your gut check. Is this proof that Stranger Things is real?
No. You mean the Netflix show? No.
No?
No.
All right, how about this?
Mac and Gatos, gut check.
Mac, a sinkhole has formed on the White House lawn.
Yeah.
Your gut check, does this give new meaning to drain the swamp?
I could see that. I could see you. I could see. There's a number of possibilities when a sinkhole develops right on the White House lawn.
Mac and Gatos, gut check.
Mac, I've got a third story that you haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Chili's has introduced a 1,600 calorie burger.
Yeesh.
It's called the Boss Burger. It is a massive meat monstrosity.
Okay.
It's stuffed with bacon sausage, pulled rib meat, brisket, and a half-pound beef patty, not to mention cheddar cheese, ranch, barbecue sauce, and everything else they have in the kitchen.
Wow. Yeesh.
Mac, your gut check. Do you have a story that you could tell us about overeating?
Overeating.
Because if you were to pound this 150-calorie monstrosity into your face,
yeah,
I would guess that you'd overeat.
That would be an overeating, yeah. I was in my early 20s. After work, I was coming home, and I ordered, like, a quarter pounder with cheese, but I got the special or whatever at the time it was called. So you got two quarter pounders with cheese.
Did you get the double quarter pounders?
There you go.
You got two double quarter
yes.
pounders with cheese?
And supersized fries.
Dude, that's like four huge burgers.
Yeah, yeah. I ate it all and could not move off the couch for 6 hours. I mean, it hurt. It was bad.
I can top that.
Oh.
I'm sure you can,
Lloyd Banks. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on.
Mac and Gatos. Gut check.
Lloyd Banks, do you have a story of overeating?
I do. It was endless boneless wing day at a valley establishment one day.
Oh, nice.
And my friends made a bet about how many wings I could eat. Who used to hold the home run record? Was it Roger Maris?
Roger Maris with 61 home runs.
Yeah, that was the challenge that they kind of teased, was 61 boneless wings is what they threw out there for me. Geez.
Good Lord.
I'm pretty sure I went bonds and did like 70 plus.
Are you serious?
I've never felt so sick in my life as I walked out of the establishment and
threw up in the parking lot?
No, I did not throw up.
Wow.
It's the first time in my life I wanted to throw up, and it had nothing to do with listening to you two.
Lovely, Lloyd. Nice shot.
Mac and Gatos, gut check.
All right, Gatos, I need your gut check on something also going on at the White House.
Mm.
There is a commemorative coin between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. It features the names and silhouettes of Trump and Kim, their names of their respective countries, and the phrase peace talks. And it has sparked controversy since its existence was first revealed on Monday. The coin calls Kim a supreme leader. We typically don't call him that in the United States. Your gut check, do you take Kim off the coin if you're Donald Trump? Do you just make it all about you?
I think so. I think if I'm Donald Trump, I put my face on the front of the coin.
Right.
And then I put my massive hands on the back of it.
Oh, jeez. Your hands?
I have huge hands. I'm going to put it right on the back of it.
Chuck Schumer said, I urge the White House to take Kim off the coin. Challenge coins are a time-honored tradition.
What's the coin for, though?
It commemorates the peace talks that haven't happened
yet.
Well,
then why? No, then keep him on it, then. You know, I mean.
You keep.
Yeah.
So if you're the president, you'd keep Kim Jong-un on it.
I changed my mind. Forget the big hands.
All right.
If it's
put Kim Jong-un on the back.
Yeah, but put him on the tail side of
there it. You go.
You know, he's the back end of the horse.
That's right.
Front is well,
yeah.
We'll say Trump is the front end of the horse.
See, that's where I thought, yeah, that's what I thought the president would say. Absolutely. You put your face on heads.
Yes.
You put Kim Jong-un on tails.
Tails.
Yeah.
Why even make a commemorative coin? Because
they,
you know,
like doing that.
We're paying for that.
Oh, I know.
Too.
I know. And there's commemorative coins for everything. It's ridiculous.
Well, It'll be a great coin to have if they can denuclearize
Kim Jong-un. Yeah, but do you need a coin to signify that? I mean, come on.
And Schumer is whining and complaining about that.
Take Kim Jong-un off the coin.
He just bellyaches about everything, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. He just goes on and on.
Kind of like you. Gut check. Brought to you by the Joint Chiropractic. Zero copays, zero appointments, zero hassles. The Joint Chiropractic. Just never stops. Relief on so many levels. It's like a broken record. Coming up, the 5 o'clock KTAR News Expansion. 15 minutes of nonstop news, traffic,
just terrible,
and weather.
I'm fantastic.